Does the recent Supreme Court abortion decision, Dobbs v. Jackson, overturning Roe v. Wade, put women's lives at risk, as some are now claiming? Recently, an OBGYN, Dr. Ingrid Skop, wrote an op-ed calling this a myth. The headline of the article is, "No, the Dobbs decision does not put women's lives in danger." Dr. Skop joins us right now on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Dr. Skop, it's great to have you on the program. And I understand that you have been party to more than 5,000 babies coming into this world. In other words, you have delivered that many. That's amazing.
Thank you, Jerry. It's great to be here. And yes, I have been blessed to have the most wonderful career. I love being an obstetrician. I love delivering babies. It's the most amazing thing. And additionally, I love caring for women. And that's why I'm pro-life, because I have not seen any evidence that abortion is helpful for women in their lives.
That abortion is harmful or helpful? Okay. So what is the basis of their claims?
Well, I think that, honestly, there is just a desire to scare the American people who don't really understand what Dobbs did. So Dobbs just simply allowed the decision about abortion legislation to return to the state legislators. And many states have either recently or in years past passed restrictions on abortion. But every one of those laws allows an exemption if an abortion were needed to save the life of the mother. So it is not true what is being said that doctors can't intervene in a life-threatening pregnancy. There's a couple of occasions where that can happen. Again, it's fairly rare, but the more common situation is called an ectopic pregnancy. This is when the pregnancy implants, usually in the fallopian tube instead of the uterus.
Oh, yes.
It cannot continue to be a live birth because at some point the pregnancy will rupture the fallopian tube and women have bled to death in that situation. But there is no doctor either before or after Dobbs that would not intervene in that situation. Everyone from the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists to Planned Parenthood have acknowledged that treating an ectopic pregnancy is not the same as performing an abortion.
I see. Oh, that's a very important thing to note. Now, many people, including President Biden, including Hillary Clinton and so forth, they talk about abortion as health care for women. Health care.
Right. Abortion, of course, the definition is to electively end the life of the unborn human being. There is no, I mean, we all know intuitively, killing is not health care. And it should be obvious, only about 7 to 14% of obstetrician gynecologists say that they will perform an abortion if requested by their patient. But if abortion was necessary health care, every obstetrician would be willing to perform that, but most will not.
Would you mind repeating the specific statistic? What percentage of obstetricians basically declined to do abortions?
Yeah, so there's two studies that have surveyed practicing obstetricians about this question. And in response to one survey, only 7% said they would perform an abortion. And in response to the other survey, only 14%.
Wow.
So essentially, only 1 out of 10 obstetricians will perform an abortion because we go into this profession because we want to care for a woman and her unborn child. They're both our patients.
So in most
cases of abortion, those are performed by a hired technician. Sometimes it is a physician, but it's done at the woman's request, generally for social or financial reasons, but not for medical indications.
So is there a lot of misinformation being bandied about by the media on this subject?
I think there's a terrific amount of misinformation. And again, because the American people don't really understand these abortion restrictions, it is easy to turn people against the pro-life legislation But it's being done in a it's being done in a way that is not fair and is not honest, because the discussion has been moved away from the fact that about 97% of abortions are done for purely elective financial or social reasons. But of course, the argument goes to the very, very small minority of cases where they need to be done to protect a woman's life. I mentioned earlier about ectopic pregnancy. Sometimes it happens, usually in the middle part of pregnancy, that a woman, her life is at risk either from severe hypertension or possibly she has a pre-existing cardiac condition that worsens rapidly. Sometimes there's a situation where the bag of water breaks extremely early and the woman is at risk for severe infection called sepsis. But in those situations, if the woman needs to be separated from her baby because of a severe medical problem, as her obstetrician, I can do that. I can deliver her in a medically standard way by induction, or sometimes if it needs to be done very rapidly, by C-section. And I can allow the baby a chance at life. Even if the baby is too young to survive, the mother can have a child that she can hold, that she can mourn, that she can bury, a much more caring and emotionally responsible way to help this woman in this horrible situation than to do a D&E dismemberment abortion, which of course will tear the baby apart, does not give the baby any chance at survival, and disrespects the baby's life and the mother's pain.
What do you think about those who make claims along these lines? Having an abortion is actually safer than for the mother than giving birth.
Well, there was one study from 10 years ago performed by outspoken abortion advocates that made this claim. It has never been reproduced. It was based upon very faulty data. In our country, we do not mandate any abortion reporting, either the numbers, the complications, or the mortality associated with it. So the CDC's data is known to be incomplete. But we can look at better studies from Scandinavian countries where they do records linkage. So they know every abortion, they know every complication, they know every birth, they know every reproductive age woman's death. And when we look at those much more thorough studies, we find the exact opposite. We find that a woman is about 2 to 4 times as likely to die in the year after an abortion than she is after a term childbirth. And many of those cases are mental health risk. Women are much more, about 6 times more likely to commit suicide in the year after an abortion. They also die from substance abuse and overdose. Yeah. And sometimes from high risk-taking behavior. So when we really look at good data, we discover that giving birth to a child is protective for a woman.
That is very interesting. As far as surgical abortions are concerned, I understand that nowadays pills-based abortions, so in other words, the mother taking some sort of pills, maybe even something she just gets from the mail, is becoming more common, perhaps, than the surgical type of abortions. As a medical doctor, what is your opinion on that?
Well, it's very unfortunate, and this has been something the abortion industry has been working toward for a long time. I think they saw the handwriting on the wall that restrictions might become more prevalent, but in order to keep providing abortions, and also because there's so few doctors willing to perform surgical abortions, they've been working toward promoting so-called medical, or I call them chemical abortions, because, of course, medicine implies that it would have healing properties, and these, of course, are meant to kill. We do know, again, from the good Scandinavian studies that chemical abortions have four times as many complications as a surgical abortion. So they're much more dangerous for women. About 5 to 8% of the time, the tissue does not pass completely. The woman may have infection. She may have bleeding, severe pain. And in those situations, she requires a surgery in order to complete the abortion. But what we've seen from the U.S. FDA is that they use the pandemic the COVID-19 pandemic as an excuse to take away the regulation of medical abortion. So it's no longer necessary for a doctor to do a physical examination, to perform an ultrasound, to check labs. Women are getting these by telemedicine abortion or ordering them online and getting them delivered through the mail from India. And so we're losing the ability to restrict them either medically or legally. And in these situations, I think the complications are going to become even higher. We're not going to have the ability to rule out an ectopic pregnancy that we discussed earlier. So these women may still have life-threatening complications. If a woman doesn't know how far along and guesses, and if she's further along than she thinks, then there's a much higher risk that she's going to have a failed abortion and require surgery. These are going to overwhelm our emergency rooms. And again, because we don't mandate complication reporting, many times we're not going to know how bad these complications and how frequently these complications are.
You know, it's so interesting. I listen to you and then I think of something Senator Elizabeth Warren, who is a big abortion advocate, said just last week. She said, these clinics are doing all this terrible harm. And she was talking about crisis pregnancy centers, which provide loving, you know, alternatives to abortion. And by the way, those are all from voluntary charitable, donations and so forth, as opposed to the big abortion industry, which is all about making money. At least in some cases, that's the case. What are your thoughts about that? You know, it's almost as if the crisis pregnancy centers are the big boogeyman now to the whole pro-abortion left.
Yes, it's so sad. And I work very closely with crisis pregnancy centers, and they do amazing work. And like you say, generally with their own donations, not with state funding or federal funding. But, you know, I think that it's important to look at our terminology. You know, pro-abortion people often say, we're not in favor of abortion. We're just pro-choice. We just want women to have a choice. But what we're seeing with their attacks on the crisis pregnancy centers is they really don't want women to have a choice, because if a woman goes into a crisis center and discovers that there are resources available so she can continue her pregnancy, they don't like that. They want her to have the abortion. And so they're attacking these centers that are helping women to give birth to their children. Similarly, there is abortion pill reversal available for women who take the mifepristone abortion pill and then change their minds. Well, we're seeing attacks on that as well. They're calling it unscientific, even though all it is giving natural progesterone. Again, they don't want women to have a choice to change their mind, to carry their pregnancy. They solely want them to have abortions. And I think that it's becoming increasingly obvious for the American public to see that this is the case.
Mm. Okay, we have about 40 seconds left. It's as if today being pregnant is a curse and not a blessing, whereas in previous times it was a blessing. Your thoughts?
Well, as an obstetrician, I think that a pregnancy is a miracle, and I love it. And women and their children are not natural enemies. We are created in such a way that this is how humanity continues, that women are willing to take the discomfort at times, but also the wonderful experience of bringing children into the world. And it is a dysfunction of our society that we've somehow painted the picture that the two are not compatible. As a working obstetrician and a mother of three, I can say that being a mother does not keep a woman from fulfilling her life goals. It only accentuates it. Excellent. So yeah. I hope that we can all come back to feeling that way about our children.
It's like the old line, why can't we love them both? LozierInstitute.org for more information. Lozier is spelled L-O-Z-I-E-R. Dr. Scott, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you so much.
Bye.